válido de lunes a jueves. You
the Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Podcasting is finally valid. A married podcasting team in Washington State was recently murdered by a psycho stalker. That old Dean Martin song had it wrong. In today's America, you're nobody till somebody kills you. Those two achieved more fame by being slain than they ever might have sitting in front of microphones. Oddly, there were no candlelight vigils. No expressions of outrage from the legacy media. No podium-pounding congressional cretins barking,
"Something must be done."
No talk of making them a protected class or making podcaster homicide a hate crime. Seems most people just didn't give a shit. Maybe some people were secretly glad. That Larry Show is where truth lives. The address of the Take No Shit Dojo is the crossroads of madness and enlightenment, and has been for over 6 years. So we don't bullshit here. The fact is, most podcasts suck. With something like 4 million of them clogging the interwebs, is that any surprise? In Critiquing Television, Ernie Kovacs reputedly said, "It's called a medium because it's neither rare nor well done." Had Ernie only lived to the digital age. Most podcasters are first cousins to karaoke singers, air guitarists, and armchair quarterbacks. Amateurs, wannabes, and most commonly, copycats. Because so many are insufferably boring, they've given the genre a bad name. Tell someone you do a podcast and they look at you like you're a leper. Originality is a key ingredient in entertainment success, and it's virtually non-existent in podcasting land. Hell, it's practically non-existent in Hollywood, too. Nothing is fresh, just reboots of the same stupid cape movies. Lately, Hollywood's in the, if they're not dead yet, bring 'em back phase. Cobra Kai is Karate Kid on ibuprofen. Top Gun is Top Geezer, and so on. I despise the word podcast. It came out of Apple Corporation. Everyone thinks Apple invented the MP3 player and named it the iPod, when in fact, they stole many of the patents of the MP3 player from a company called Creative, knowing full well they were stealing it, but also knowing they'd still make billions after paying the puny $100 million settlement. So now we're stuck with an idiotic name for an entertainment format that's rarely entertaining. Pod. What the fuck is that? The entire idea was to make recorded audio portable. They should have been called GoCasts, huh? That's a lot cooler sounding, isn't it? But now we're forever saddled with a really, really stupid fucking name. But it's kind of fitting for a genre awash in awful content. A more precise name for most podcasts would be Padcasts. So many run for 3 or 4 hours and more. But if you extracted the padding, they could be done in 10 minutes. Before they get to the meat of the story, they have to tell you what they're wearing, what they had for lunch, what their favorite color is, and so on. They believe idle chit-chat is amusing. In rare instances, it can be, but mostly, it's annoying. Podcasters use the same padding technique as dull-minded fifth graders do when answering the essay question, "Who was Henry Ford?"
"Henry Ford was a man whose
whose first name was Henry, and his last name was Ford. His initials were HF. His parents named him Henry. H is the eighth letter in the alphabet, and F is the sixth. He was alive until he died.
My pal Carl, who hosts the very successful show Who Are These Podcasts, he does the world and the podcasting genre a great service when he tears asunder a different, dreadful podcast with each episode. He listens to and critiques the garbage, so we don't have to. I've guested on his show a couple of times and always had a blast. Doubtless there are copycats by now, but Carl's is the original and the best. I interviewed Carl in bonus episode 36, which you can download at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. He's been sued and threatened with bodily harm. Don't know if he's been stalked yet, but it's a good possibility. Originality is so hard to find. Most people just try to ape existing formats. Howard Stern knockoffs might be the most common. Ensemble casts who think they're so funny when they're loaded and watching UFC at Dave and Buster's. And somebody says, "Hey man, let's do a podcast." So they either yap into the pinpoint mic on their laptop and sound like shit, or spend a small fortune on high-end mics and preamps and interfaces so they can sound like shit. Because you can record a monkey chimping into an $8,000 Neumann microphone with perfect fidelity, and it's still shit. There's a subset of the Howard Stern chuckle fucks, the screamers, or more accurately, the "Am I funny yet?" screamers. There was only one screaming comic who was ever funny, and he was one of the greatest who ever lived, Sam Kinison.
If you want to stop world hunger, stop sending them food. Don't send these people another bite, folks. You want to send them something? You want to help? Send them U-Hauls. Send them U-Hauls, some luggage, and send them a guy out there that goes, "Hey, you know, we've been driving out here every day with your food for like the last, 30, 40 years. And we were driving out here a day across the desert, and it occurred to us there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! This is sand. Yeah. It's sand. You know it's going to be 100 years from now, huh? It's going to be sand! You live in a fucking desert! Get your kids, get your shit, we'll make one trip! We'll take you to where the food is! We have deserts in America, we just don't live in them, asshole!
Sam's been gone a long time, but his imitators live on, and they suck. When their lame jokes don't get a laugh, they scream the next one louder, like the idiots speaking English in a foreign nation who talk slower while raising the volume, as if that's going to make the other person understand. I've not listened to Howard Stern since he left terrestrial radio. Occasionally I do see clips, and it appears he's angling for a spot on The View, and they should give him one. He looks and sounds like a stretched version of Joy Behar. Stern's real talent was his skill at assembling a strong crew. Sidekick Robin made him bulletproof from cancellation. If she laughed, and she always laughed, then the joke must be approved. Then he hired people that were intrinsically funny, like Artie Lang and Fred Norris. After the Stern copycats are the Rush Limbaugh wannabes. But they number far fewer because solo shows are a lot more difficult. But Limbaugh had a staff of producers and researchers and a huge radio syndication company providing other resources. On the surface, his show looked easy. But don't many endeavors, from trapeze artists to jugglers to top athletes and musicians, they never look like they're working because they're fucking great at what they do. And the thought bubble over the wannabe's head is,
"That looks easy, I can do that."
Until they try. I always thought I had a good throwing arm. I'd usually hit what I aimed at, even moving targets. I'm not a baseball fan, but sometimes found myself near a TV where some major league hurler was whistling them over the plate, and I thought, I could do that. Until I found myself at a carnival, where some carny with a radar gun would clock the speed of your pitch. Major leaguers consistently throw at what, 95 miles an hour and more? I figured I'd be good for at least 70, maybe 80. In three tries, the best I could manage was in the high 40s. But it looked so easy. The beauty of athletics and real musicians, not samplers, is that there's nowhere to hide and no way to fake it. A butterfingered first baseman or clinker-hitting guitarist will not get far, unless you are Edge of U2, the most successful three-chord Johnny ever to heft a Les Paul. Vocalists get more cover with auto-tuning. So there are legions of Limbaugh imitators who just clip headlines and tweets about politicians and then bitch about them for a couple of hours. And their mothers tell them they're really good. The 400th episode of this show, The Secret of Success, featured some terrific advice from guitarist Steve Vai. One nugget of wisdom I did not include was his take on originality.
You know, and I'd play my Jimi Hendrix songs, my Led Zeppelin songs, but when it came time to actually do my thing, it always felt really weird to me to play anything that anybody else had ever played. Because, first of all, why? You know, they do it so much better. Yeah. And second of all, you know, how cool is it to just do things that you haven't heard?
So true. Why copy someone else? They'll always be better at being them. A hugely popular format is true crime. People can't get enough of it. Most recently, it was that Murdaugh guy and his train wreck of a family. He was just convicted of killing his wife and his punk son, who also killed someone while drunk driving his speedboat. Wife and son appeared to be as awful as daddy was, so what's all the fuss about? Probably tens of thousands of podcasts were all over that story. On one of my cross-continent drives, my wife and daughters insisted on listening to the show Serial, which covered a murder of a female student in Maryland by a guy who has since been exonerated. The show was interminable. It just went on and on and on. I thought I'd lose my mind. And it seemed pretty obvious to me that the host reporter chick was hot for the accused murderer. The story launched her podcast into the stratosphere, but all she really was doing was an audio version of the TV show's Dateline in 48 Hours. They originated the format, which is stretch 10 minutes of story into 2 hours. They follow the method of all amateur orators and low-talent storytellers, from corporate drones to politicians. It's a simple formula. Tell them what you're going to say, say it, then tell them what you said. Analyze any politician's or CEO's speech. That's what they do. The third most common podcasts are what I call the Wikipedia readers. They tend to be NPR fans. They have no idea how to craft a story, so they bury you in factoids and statistics. Think that meme with the actually guy, huh? Listening to them is like homework. We are drowning in amateurs, and that floodwater comes from the same place as participation trophies and schools without tests or grades. The premise that people's feelings are of paramount importance. In a better and previous world, amateurs performed at their own risk, which was as it should be. In vaudeville, there was a trap door in the stage floor. If you got booed, down you went. After a while, that was softened with the shepherd's hook that dragged them off stage. In the old Chuck Barris TV game show, a gong signaled the audition was over, if you could hear the gong over the audience boos. But now all amateur talent shows are about feelings and the tragic lives of the contestants. The more sad the backstory, the more likely they are to win. And the losers, no matter how awful, are coddled and stroked and encouraged to keep trying. Which really does them a huge disservice, because entertainment is subjective. And for those few who are talented and trying to make it, coddling them is also wrong. If they prove their talent and become successful, many people are going to hate them and shit all over their work anyway. It just goes with the territory. A few people hate listen to this show and have told me in emails and reviews. Some loathed my books that were published, the TV show I created, and so on. I don't give a shit. People who are worried about what other people think should avoid the arts, because derision and rejection go with the territory. 5 or 6 record labels, expert arbiters of taste, told the Beatles to beat it until EMI finally signed them. But some wannabes do make it, through talent, perseverance, and grit, and good for them. And those that don't are a vital part of the eBay economy. All those microphones and boom stands and shock mounts and pop filters that were retired after 2 episodes. Same for the would-be rock stars. There must be millions of shiny, barely used Telecasters and Les Pauls and Rickenbackers and Strats gathering dust in closets until somebody finally puts them on eBay. Curvy, glittering musical confections that never found an owner with the right stuff or drive. Sold and resold from one discouraged dreamer to the next. When my first daughter was 13 or so, she told me she wanted to play guitar. Great. All mine were steel stringed, which can be tough for beginners, so I got her a nylon string classical. I'd walk her through the scales and basic chords, but each time we'd meet for another lesson was like the first time. She was putting in no time with it on her own, which told me everything I needed to know. It was just a passing fancy. But back to stalkers and talkers. Podcasting is nothing new, it's just a different delivery system for radio. And crazy homicidal listeners have always been out there. In 1984, Denver talk radio host Alan Berg was murdered by a couple of nuts who didn't like his point of view. His killing was the basis for a successful movie. Sharon Tate was a starlet with a limited resume of B-movies until Charlie Manson's maniacs carved her up. Would anyone know her name otherwise? The list of ordinary people who became famous victims is long. Elizabeth Short, nicknamed the Black Dahlia, Kitty Genovese, JonBenet Ramsey, Dorothy Stratton. And now these two podcasters. Few people knew their names or had ever heard of their show, but they got 15 minutes of fame in the worst way. Maybe their show was terrific. Maybe it sucked. It's hard to stand out in a crowd of 4 million. Wonder if their audio equipment will wind up on eBay, and if it'll fetch a higher market price with some ghoul. We live in strange times. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page, thatlarryshow.com. There you will find hundreds more episodes for your listening pleasure. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help support the show. If you prefer to do so via non-digital means, you'll find a P.O. Box address also on the homepage. There are other ways to help the show. Post it on your social media, send links to your friends, give it a 5-star review wherever you download. It all helps, and it's all appreciated. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We have some giggles there between episodes. Just put That Larry Show in the search bar. You'll find us. If you want to write, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I get a lot of email, so I may not answer immediately, but I do always answer. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.